This week and next week, we're talking about freedom, because that's what we're celebrating this week. And today we have a reading from Galatians 5, verses 13 to 25. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. The whole law can be summed up in one single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live in the Spirit, I say. Do not gratify the desires of the flesh, for what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit. What the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. These are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I'm warning you as I warned you before. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we live by the Spirit, let us be guided by the Spirit. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, help us be guided by your Spirit. Pour out that Spirit upon us, Lord, in this time and place, that we might know that you are here. You are guiding us. We pray this in your Son's precious name. Amen. So this week we do have freedom on our minds, and we know that freedom is such a gift, that we are very grateful for that, and we give thanks to God. Many famous words have been written about freedom in our country. Our Declaration of Independence contained these famous words: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our own Statue of Liberty has an inscription about people coming here for freedom. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore, send these, the homeless, the tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. But the idea of freedom isn't new and unique to our country. It's something from God. God didn't make us like little chess pieces or puppets. God gave us free will, right? And we took advantage of that. But God made us for freedom. Just like I was telling the kids, God gave us the ability to make choices between right and wrong. And if we read through the Bible, we would find that freedom is God's will for humanity, right? God wants us to live free. Long before there was freedom here, freedom was a big thing in the life of God's people, especially when the Hebrew people were yearning for freedom as they suffered as slaves under Pharaoh in Egypt. And that exodus of God's people from Egypt, that rescuing that God enabled through Moses for them to be freed from slavery, it is like the defining moment in the history of God. And God reminds the people of that again and again and again about this gift of freedom. When we get to the New Testament, we see that Jesus also came to set people free. He said so in his very first sermon in Luke 4. He says that he has been anointed by the Holy Spirit to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and to let the oppressed go free. Jesus later told his disciples in John 8, if you continue in my word, if you're truly my disciples, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. In the New Testament alone, there are over 50 references to freedom for Christians, including Paul's words in Romans 8:21 when he talks about the glorious freedom as children of God. So today in Galatians, we also read about freedom in the context of life in the Spirit. So we need to know, why is Paul writing about freedom at this time? What's going on? All of his letters are addressing a situation or a problem in a church. So what's happening in Galatia? Well, in Galatia, there's two different factions that are fighting. Each faction in the church has their own idea about freedom in Christ. This first group believes that freedom in Christ means we can do whatever we want. We are free from any constraints. The second group believe that freedom in Christ means following all of the Jewish laws, being very strict in the faith. And what does Paul say to both of these groups? He says, you were called to freedom. Brothers and sisters, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, and through love become slaves to one another. In other words, as we read through Galatians, we see that Paul is saying that following all those laws will not bring freedom, and neither will doing whatever you please or self-indulgence. He says that real freedom is living in the Spirit as opposed to the flesh. What is he talking about? What does he mean, flesh and spirit? Is he saying that anything to do with our physical body is bad, but our spirit is good? What if Paul's talking about choices? Like I was talking with the kids. On the one hand, we can live as slaves to our sins, our desires, all that self-indulgence. And Paul gives quite a list of these desires, like idolatry, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissension, and more. Or if we want to be truly free, we can live differently. We can pursue life in the Spirit. Instead of doing what we please, we can do what Christ wants us to do. And this is life not lived by our own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. That kind of life is truly free. That kind of life bears fruit in the world. It's kind of like that perennial question, WWJD, what would Jesus do? It sounds so cliche, and yet it is so important. What would Christ do in our lives today, in our world today? And it's kind of like that analogy that we've heard time and again of being, you can be a rowboat and go your own way in life, or you can be a sailboat and let the Holy Spirit fill your sails. For Paul, freedom is so important. For Paul, it's not just freedom from something, it's freedom for something. Specifically, he says, it's freedom for loving God and your neighbor as yourself. That's what we celebrate as Christians. We celebrate a freedom for love. The freedom to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. And when we pursue that, when we decide to do what Jesus would do, when we decide to rely upon the Holy Spirit in our lives bear fruit. And that's what he's talking about in those fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against any of that. This week I read a great explanation about living life in the Spirit versus the flesh, and they just boiled it down really simply. Living life in the flesh is self-centered. Living life in the Spirit is God-centered. That makes sense. And it's pretty simple, isn't it? As Christians, we have a choice. We can be self-centered or God-centered. If we live God-centered, that means we are truly free. So the question today is, which way are we really living? Which way do we want to live? Do we want to follow Christ, or do we want to just do what we please? There's always that broken, fallen part of us, right, that wants to just do what we want to do. Paul writes about that too. But isn't following the Spirit inside of us the way that we find joy and purpose and meaning? How are we living and how do we want to live? What kind of fruit do we want in our lives? I was reading a sermon on freedom from Reverend Joanna Adams, and she wrote this. It's awesome. She said, to be truly free means to be liberated from the prison of me, myself, and I. To be truly free is to move beyond the self, and as one who is wise has put it, move into the risk of love and service. To be free is free for responsibility, not from responsibility. Christ, who had everything going in the world for himself, chose to empty himself and become a servant for the sake of the world. That is true freedom. Wow, when I read that, I thought, don't we all want that? To be liberated from a selfish prison, that sounds like real life to me. And if that means following that love and sacrifice of Jesus, I think that's the way we want to live. In Philippians 2, Paul writes even more about that, about how Jesus chose to empty himself and serve. He wrote, Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used, but rather he made himself nothing in the form of a servant, made in human likeness. And being found in human likeness, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death on the cross. I wonder, how are we choosing to do that? How are we choosing to ask the Spirit, help me empty myself? Help me serve others? When faced with these choices, what do we actually do? When I was thinking about freedom this week, I was hearing a kind of a sarcastic remark that we hear a lot. Well, it's a free country. What do people mean by that? Sometimes they mean that as an excuse to just do what you want. Sometimes it's like saying, well, we can do whatever we want as Americans because we are free. But how free are we if we really just do whatever we want? How free are we if we are truly self-centered? Isn't that kind of a slavery to ourselves, our desires, our sins? Paul doesn't say that everything about desire or the body is bad. When he gives that list, he's saying that some of those desires that we have go way too far and become self-serving. That there's always a way out, a better way to live. How do we find that way? I think first we have to realize that none of this life or freedom is really about us. It's really about God. It's really about loving God, about loving neighbor. That's what brings real freedom. That's the thing we need to celebrate as Christians. In the United States of America, freedom and liberty are these incredible gifts, especially the religious liberty that gives us the ability to be right here, to worship freely and gather here today. It's not a freedom to do whatever you want. For Christians, it's a freedom to love God and neighbor, and it's a freedom that carries responsibility just as it did for Christ. It carries the responsibility to work for the good of our neighbor. It carries the responsibility to speak up against injustice. It carries the responsibility to stand up for people who are oppressed. You read the Bible from cover to cover and you'll find that is our calling. Paul warned the church in Galatia, if you bite and devour one another, take care you are not consumed by one another. In other words, we can't afford to be hurting each other. We can't afford to be acting selfishly Can we? How are we as Christians, how are we as individuals being models of love and compassion? How are we seeking justice? What does that mean in your life today? What does that mean right here in this church? What does that mean in our nation? My heart is broken right now because there are a lot of people, especially children, being treated very poorly. Not with love or compassion or mercy. So I wonder, how do we stand for all of our neighbors, including those we don't know? We may disagree on solutions to immigration, but as followers of Jesus Christ, there should be no disagreement on how we care for those who are in our care, especially kids. Jill Duffield, the editor of Presbyterian Outlook, wrote this for the migrant children this week, and I want to read you just a bit of it. She said, "Lord, whose love is boundless, whose mercy knows no borders, whose grace cannot be thwarted, you welcome the little children. You proclaim that the kingdom of God belongs to them, and you are the Lord who admonishes your followers to feed the hungry, care for the sick, bind up the brokenhearted, and welcome the stranger. So we plead for your spirit to overtake our hearts. Remove from us any impediment to doing justice and alleviating suffering. Show us your way of truth and life. Help us refuse to ignore the cry of children, the desperation of those who are made in your image. We humbly ask for wisdom and courage and the will to unleash the living water you put in our hearts. May your spirit of comfort and gentleness envelop children. Bring healing to those who are sick. Bring hope to those who are terrified." One of our most famous American judges wrote eloquently about freedom, Billings Hand. He was a United States judge and philosopher who lived from 1872 to 1961, and one time he was asked, "Would you please explain the spirit of liberty? What is it?" He said, "The spirit of liberty is the spirit which seeks to understand the minds of other men and women. It weighs their interests alongside its own. It remembers that not even a sparrow falls to the earth unheeded. The spirit of liberty is the spirit of him who over 2,000 years ago taught humanity a lesson it has never learned but never forgotten, that there is a kingdom where the least shall be heard and considered side by side with the greatest." Choices. Where and when are we making the choice to be God-centered and not self-centered? Where and when are we deciding to love God and our neighbor as ourselves, and how is that bearing fruit? Friends, hear the good news of the gospel today. If we want to pursue real life, we will do what Jesus would do, and we will pursue the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That is freedom. And to that, all God's people say, Amen. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed on page 35 in your hymnal. I believe in God.